Kapitel Lamed Gimel 33. Now, last week's kapitel was heavy emphasis on tefillah and teshuvah, and the ability of the individual to do teshuvah. And this kapitel is a follow-up from David HaMelech to last week's kapitel. And in this follow-up kapitel, so to speak, David HaMelech reviews the basic relationships and precepts of Hashem's relationship to us, to people. And the Malbim explains that this kapitel teaches how Hashem controls the world. And it teaches us about Hashem's hashgacha. And throughout this kapitel, there's going to be a lot of reference to musical instruments and to singing. And the Malbim compares Hashem's control of the universe to a symphony. And we'll see as we go through the kapitel why that is. Now, Hashem relates to the world in a number of different ways, as we all know. Everything that happens in the world is because of Hashem. We all know that if I were to drop the cell phone on the floor, it would fall. It falls to the floor not because of something called gravity, but it falls to the floor because Hashem is making it fall to the floor. Well, we could say, but you know what? If I drop this cell phone on the floor 452 times, every time I drop it, it always falls down. Never falls up, never falls sideways, never spirals around first, always falls down. So there must be some reason why it always falls down. To which we say, yes, because every time I drop this cell phone, Hashem makes it fall down. In which case, what are we doing teaching our children about things called gravity and other laws of science? It would seem, therefore, that there is a way that Hashem relates to the world through what we call the laws, the natural laws of the universe. Now, it's true, we say it in Davening, that there is no such thing as a law that Hashem creates. Hashem makes this cell phone fall to the floor every time. There is no such thing as something that Hashem has created called gravity, called the law of gravity. But rather, Hashem chooses that the way he interacts with the world is that certain things happen with consistency. Hashem has chosen that whenever I drop a cell phone, he's going to make it fall to the floor and act in a certain manner. And we call that, for lack of a better term, a scientific or a natural law, which Hashem relates to us by the fact that he makes things happen in the world, and some things he makes happen in an over and over repetitive way that we believe we can study and we can see, and we call those sort of the laws of how Hashem works the universe, whether we call that the laws of nature or whether we call that science. We call it the way that Hashem relates to the universe on a consistent basis, that there are certain things that he makes happen in a consistent way. No matter how many times I've dropped this cell phone, it will never fall up. And that doesn't change the fact that it's a conscious act of Hashem that's making this cell phone fall. There is no force called gravity. It's a conscious act of Hashem. But Hashem makes it happen in such a way that we observe it as a constant law of nature. The second way that Hashem relates to us in the world is through Hashgacha. Hashgacha is when Hashem seems to, quote-unquote, intervene in the affairs of the world, not in the manner of a natural law like gravity. So, for example, when we say something happens that's a miracle, or that's miraculous, Hashem openly did something that seems to contradict what we consider those laws to be, and it seems to be an open intervention in the way that Hashem wants the world to work. So we call that Hashgacha. Now, on an interesting side note, there's a difference of opinion amongst the Balei Machshava, amongst the Jewish philosophers, as to how people can affect these actions. So, for example, the classic example is if Reuven shoots Shimon and kills him. Reuven has committed an Aveira, he's committed a capital crime. And Reuven is held accountable by the courts for his capital crime, correct? What about Shimon? Is Shimon the victim of what we consider to be the natural laws, or is Shimon a victim of Hashgacha? Would Shimon have been run over by a bus if Reuven hadn't gotten out of bed that morning? Or would Shimon have been perfectly fine had Reuven not gotten out of bed that morning? So can Reuven do anything that interferes with Shimon's destiny? So the first thing we have to understand is that nothing happens without Hashem's deciding it. But the Baalei Machshava take two different approaches. The first approach is that Hashem can decide one of two things. Hashem can decide Shimon will be killed today, or Shimon won't be killed today, regardless of what Reuven does. And definitely the Baal Shem Tov and others in Hasidic thought would say that Shimon is going to be killed no matter what, because Hashem decided, Hashkacho, that Shimon is to be killed. And if Reuven doesn't get out of bed this morning, then Shimon will get run over by a bus. However, there's another school of thought that says, no, the decision that came from Shemayim is either Shimon will be killed, Shimon will not be killed, or Shimon will be killed or not, depending on what Reuven does. So according to that school of thought, there is the ability of man to interfere with the way Hashem runs the world. Hashem can decide that Shimon will live or die based on Reuven's actions. According to that school of thought, we understand very well that were Shimon a big tzaddik, Reuven would probably miss him. Were Shimon a big rasha, he might get run over by a bus anyway, but for most people, Hashem would say, well, it depends what Reuven does. So we have two different ways of Hashem interacting with the world. The first way that we call laws of nature, which is the fact that Hashem always makes the cell phone fall to the ground. And that is no less of a manifestation of the will of Hashem than the second way, which is what we call Hashkacha, where Hashem seems to openly intervene in the normal course of people's lives. So these two different ways that Hashem relates to us in the world are part of a symphony, and we're going to see how that mashal of a symphony is going to be carried through as we look at this kapitel. So we said earlier in this be that last week we talked about teshuva and tefillah. The Devon Amel wrote this kapitel as a follow-up to last week's kapitel about the fact that once a person has done teshuva and has been forgiven, he should be able to more clearly see the relationship of Hashem to the rest of the world and to Hashem's creation and to us. All right, let's take a look at Lamed Gimel. The first pasuk says, "Ranamu zadikim b'Hashem l'sharim nava se'ila." Famous pasuk. Sing in a joyful manner, you righteous people, because of Hashem. For the upright, it is proper in praise. The English translation is a little bit cumbersome. Let's take the first part first. Ranenu. So Ranenu is a joyful, rejoicing psalm. Ranenu tzadikim b'Hashem. That the righteous people should sing b'Hashem. So first of all, apparently David HaMelech had a dikduk problem here. Because you don't sing in Hashem, you sing la Hashem. You sing to Hashem. So how is it that we're singing because of this? We're singing in Hashem. Le'isharim, the upright, nava sihila. It's fitting for them to praise. The Malbim explains that yesharim, a person who is yashar, is a person who is even higher than a tzaddik. A tzaddik, a yashar, is a person who understands that everything Hashem does is for the perfect end goal of good. Yashar means straight. You go to Eretz Yisrael, you ask directions, they'll tell you yashar, 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 until your feet fall off from when people walk and so far, I have no idea where you're going, right? Right? So yashar is something that's straight. So a yasharim, says the Malbim, are people that are even higher than tzaddikim, right? Because they understand that everything Hashem does is for the perfect end good. So says the Malbim, those people can sing Ba'Hashem in the rejoicing of Hashem. The tzaddikim can now, after they've repented and done teshuva, like we learned in the last kapitel, can become even higher than tzaddikim. They can become yisharim. People who recognize that everything Hashem does is for the perfect good. And that's why they can be ranenu, and they could sing so joyfully to Hashem. The previous kapitel ended, if you look right up above, Simchu b'Hashem, be glad in Hashem, v'gilu tzadikim, and rejoice Hashem. Now, says David HaMelech, in the very next pasuk, then after you've done all that, ranenu tzadikim. Now the tzadikim can be ranenu. They can sing in even more joyous manner by Hashem, because of Hashem. Why? Because la yasharim, because for the yasharim, it's fitting to give praise. The Yasharim now are the Yesharim, the people who have done teshuva and who have repented, can become Yesharim. Hodu Hashem b'kinor, give thanks to Hashem with a kinor, benevel asor, with a nevel and an asor, zamru lo, sing to him. So kinor is a harp. What is a nevel asor? It says here a 10-stringed lyre. The truth that's machleik is what exactly a nevel asor is. The Ibn Ezra said there's two separate instruments. There's a nevel and there's an asor. And we don't really know what that means, what those instruments are. But but some of the Mephorshim say it's one instrument. It's a nevel asor. And it's called the nevel, the Midrash says, because it's so beautiful that it makes all the other instruments seem like nothings. But they're all nevala. That this instrument is something that they would only keep for special occasions, and that this instrument makes all the other instruments sound like nevel. And before she discussed at great length, and I don't really have the musical background to take you through it, through some of the musicality that they discussed, and you can probably find this interesting, to how these different instruments relate one to another, and what kind of tones the different instruments bring out. And the truth is, the musical discussion of that is a little bit beyond my musical knowledge, but perhaps someday we'll discuss that in more depth. Shir lo shir chadash, sing a new song to Hashem. Now that you've repented and you understand the way Hashem works and that you're a yashar, shir lo shir chadash, sing a new song. Heitivu nagein bisurua, and play well with deep emotion. Sing a new song. What was wrong with the old song? Oh, we always sing Shira Chadash. We're always saying to sing a new song. What was wrong with the old song? So up until now, for 32 kapitalach, we've been singing the old song, I guess. And the old song, that was pretty good. But David Amal says, now, after on Lamed Gimel, you can Shira Lo Shir Chadash. You could sing a new song. So unfortunately, it doesn't mean sing a new song now. It means a person should always be singing a new song. That what you're singing to Hashem should always be fresh and new to you. That a person shouldn't be singing the same thing they said yesterday. It doesn't mean sing a new song as opposed to the old one. It means always be singing a new song. So not sing a new song now, but constantly be singing a new one. Hey, tu v'nagin b'sruah. And play well. Now, it's interesting, the word shiru, shira, is a feminine word. Right? Shira has a feminine name, correct? Why is that? But should we call it? We use the word shir, the time for singing. But always in Tehillim, we call it a shira. This is shir. It's a feminine ending. There's a beautiful medrash. He says, you know why? It's only in this world, in Olam Haba, the word shir will have a masculine ending. It will be shir and not shira. You know why? Because a person always has to sing a new song. Why? Because circumstances are always changing, and a person's always undergoing new trials, new tribulations, and a person's circumstances are always going through a rebirth. And the Medrash says that since a person's circumstances and the conditions they find themselves are always going through a rebirth, the word shira is used in the feminine. But come lusid lovo, come the future, when we realize and we're able to understand better Hashem's plan for the world and how Hashem relates to the world, there's no need for a continuous rebirth of circumstances, and the word shira will become the word shir. Will become a masculine ending, and it'll be a once and for all shir, and not a shira that has to be continuously reborn. Now it says, play well a tsurua. A tsurua, tsurua, tsurua is a broken sound. Consider a tsurua to be a sad sound. Trua is considered to be a sad sound, yet David HaMelech is saying, sing a new song and play a sad note. It doesn't seem to make sense. We'd want to sing a new song and play a happy note. But a trua is a sad note, say the Mephorshim, only in this world. Because when we hear a trua, and we hear a broken sound, and we hear broken things in this world, things look broken to us because we don't understand. So we hear a trua, say the Mephorshim, as a sad sound, a broken sound. Something broken seems sad to us. We don't understand why things have to be broken. Say the Mephorshim, a trua is a happy sound if you understand what's going on. So says David HaMelech, shiru lo shir chadash, sing a shir. Sing the male song. Sing a song that needs no more rebirth. Sing a song that indicates you don't have to go through more learnings and more circumstances and more trials and more tribulations. Sing the final shir that you understand that everything Hashem does is for the good. And listen to the teruah, to the broken sound, and understand that nothing's broken. It says, David HaMelech, Ki Yashar Devar Hashem, because upright is the word of Hashem, V'chol Ma'aseihu Be'emunah. And all of the things that he does are does with emunah. Now, everything Hashem does is Yashar. So why is it Hashem has to have these natural laws? When Hashem does Hashgach and he interferes in people's lives, we see that's a good thing. Oh, he was saved. The bus was going to go tumbling over the ridge, but it miraculously got saved. And everybody says, oh, that's wonderful. Right? Hashem intervened with his Hashgacha. That's terrific. And we see, everything he does is be'emunah. So why don't we say the same thing when the cell phone drops? Cell phone drops to the ground is just as big a manifestation of Hashem as the bus being miraculously saved. So why is it that we don't get all excited when the cell phone drops to the ground? Hashem made laws that appear to us to be natural laws that we almost take for granted. Why doesn't Hashem make everything dependent on what happens? Maybe it should be that when I drop this cell phone, Hashem might make it fall up, Hashem might make it fall down, or sideways, or it could spiral and crash through the window. Or you know what? Tikvasar might have to duck because it might go flying that way. Why does Hashem make these boring, take-for-granted kinds of laws? So everything he does is be'emunah. Everything he does is perfect. Why does Hashem make these yisharim? Why does he make things that seem like laws to take for granted? The Malbus is very beautiful. He says, because people can't live without that. People can't live in a constant state of upheaval and panic and fear of not knowing what's going to happen next. People can't live like that. So Yisharim, Hashem's, it says, he says, Ki Yashar Devar Hashem, upright is the word of Hashem, because Hashem makes things that are Yashar, that will always fall to the ground. But Hashem makes it so that we can have some comfort in life, that we can proceed knowing that when we drop the cell phone, it'll fall to the ground. We're getting tired of that, Mashal. I'll come up with it here. We're getting tired of the fact that we drop that cell phone, it always, Hashem makes that cell phone fall to the ground. So the Malbim says, we can't live without that. If you never knew what was going to happen every time you did something, and there was no quote-unquote laws of nature, your life would be in a constant upheaval. Do I have the schus today that when I drop this cell phone, it's going to fall? Or do I have not very much schus, and it's going to go crashing through my window? People can't live like that. Look at what happened to the Dor Midbar when they lived without so many natural laws. Every day the mun would fall. The mun fell in the Midbar, and it tasted like whatever they wanted it to taste like, right? Where did the mun fall by their door? It depended. However much schus you had from the day before, says the Madrash, the mun would fall closer or farther away from your door. You had such an immediate connection to Hashem that you would see right away whether you were doing well or you were doing poorly. Says the Or Zameh, people can't live like that. That's an unnatural way to live. That's not how people were created to live. Says David HaMelech, Yishar Devar Hashem. Hashem's word is straight and fine, and he makes things with natural laws. Kol Ma'aseihu Be'emunah. And all of his deeds are done with faithfulness. So whether he's making the cell phone drop, or whether he's making the bus miraculously not go over the same cliff, it's the same Devar Hashem. Says David HaMelech, Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat. He loves righteousness and justice. Chesed Hashem Mala Ha'aretz. And his chesed fills the earth. We talk a lot about the Yud Gimel Midos of Hashem. And we just had Yontif or in Shul, we said the Yud Gimel Midos of Hashem. But there's also something called the Gimel Midos of Hashem. And there's Ahava, Tzedakah, and Chassid. These are the ways that Hashem relates to the world. He relates to us with love, he relates to us with Tzedakah and Mishpat, and he relates to us with Chassid. Says David HaMelech, you have to look and see. Ohev tzedakah mishpat chesed Hashem mala aretz. Is even though it looks like he's relating to you with tzedakah or with mishpat, Hashem's chesed fills the world. B'devar Hashem shemayim nasu. With the word of Hashem, the shemayim was made. Uvaruach piv kol tzvav. And by the breath of his mouth, everything was created. So that same Hashem, that same power that makes the cell phone fall to the ground,
is what made the whole world be created. Don't look at Hashem and see different madregas of things. It's the same Hashem making the cell phone fall to the ground that bidvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu that created the entire Shemayim Laurits. Kones Kinei Me'aya, he assembles like a mound the waters of the sea from the Kriyas Yamsuf, no sane but sorrows to homos, and he places in vaults and deep waters. Yiru Me Hashem Kol Oretz, all of Hashem, the fear of Hashem is in the whole world. Mimenu Yaguru Ko Yoshve Sevo, and all people, all inhabitants of the world, should be afeared of him. Now it says there's two different things that you are here. Your Yiru, your Yira Hashem, people are afraid of Hashem, and Yaguru, they dread Hashem. The dread of Hashem. What is the difference between Yira and Yagur? Oh, I'm glad you asked that question. Yira is something that everybody has. People, animals. It's a natural fear. It's a fear of external threats. The bus is about to go over the cliff, you have Yira. You look around, and you see something that's about to happen, and you're fearful. Yagur, says the Mefarshim, is only something people have because it's fear of the consequences of your actions. Only people have that. One of the things that differentiates people from animals is we fear our consequences. We fear the consequences of our actions. When we do something, we fear how Hashem will react to that. Animals don't fear that. Animals see another animal chasing them, but if an animal looks around and everything looks calm and peaceful, that's their world and everything's calm and peaceful. They only have Yira. So David Amel says beautifully, Mimenu, Yaguru, you know who dreads Hashem? Yoshve Sevo. Only the inhabitants of the world. The people who can dwell in the world, they can also fear Hashem and fear the consequences of their actions. Ki amar v'yeh, because Hashem spoke and made the whole world. Hutziva v'yamod, he made a commandment and the creation was created. Hashem hefer atzas goyim, Hashem cancels out the advice of nations. Heini machshavos amim, and he thwarts the thoughts and the designs of peoples. Now he's talking about the Council of Nations. David HaMelech is talking about the Tower of Babel. That even when all the nations of the world get together, it's nothing compared to what Hashem thinks. Atzas Hashem le'alam tamayd, the thoughts of Hashem will endure forever. Machshavos libo l'dor v'dor, and the designs of his heart last from generation to generation. Everything that Hashem does is for a long-term plan, says David HaMelech. He says, Ashrei ha-goy asher Hashem alokav. Happy is the nation where Hashem is their God. Ha'am bachar l'nachal alo. And the people that he chose as the heritage for him. So this amazing Hashem that relates to all these different things, from the cell phone dropping to where his slight utterance created the Shemayim and the Aretz, happy are the Jewish people that have been chosen to Hashem, by Hashem, to be his people. Mishamayim he beat Hashem. From heaven Hashem looks, ra'as kol b'nei ha'adam, and he sees all mankind. Mimkon shivto hishkiach, from his place of dwelling, he has hashgacha, al kol yosvei aretz, all the inhabitants of the earth. And here David HaMelech is alluding to what we started off with this evening. Mishamayim he beat Hashem in Pasuk Yud. From the heaven he looks down and he sees all B'nai Adam. He sees all B'nai Adam and he allows them to conduct their affairs in the ways of the world. He allows the cell phone to drop to the floor. He allows people to get up and to go about their business and to think that they're in control of their destiny. But from his special place, Shivto, where he dwells, he's Shkiach. He gives Hashkacha to Klal Yisrael. It's called Yoshvei Ha'aretz, all the people here. Gives special Hashkacha. Hashem relates with that special Hashkacha where it looks to us like he's intervening in the way the world works. Hayotzer yachad libam, he who fashions together their hearts, hamevina kol ma'aseyam, who comprehends all of their deeds. What does that mean? The Al-Sheikh has a beautiful explanation. It says, Hashem is a person who yotzer yachad libam, fashions together their hearts, hamevina kol ma'aseyam, and he understands all of their deeds. The Al-Shi says, you know what? People are very complex. And they're inconsistent. People have conflicts and they're eternally inconsistent. One day they want to do this, and another day they want to do that. The Yetzirah fights with their Yetzer Tov. They can't make decisions on this. People are by nature very conflicted individuals, and they have a lot of inconsistencies in the way they behave. No human being could understand how a human being behaves. Human beings tend to behave in an inconsistent manner. They come with inconsistencies built in. From the time the small child wants to run away from their mima, to the same time that if something hurts their finger, they want to run back to their mima. Only Hashem could understand such inconsistencies and conflicts in people, because He's a Yaitzer Yachad Liba. He stitched together all those inconsistencies and all those conflicts into a person, so Hamevin is Kol Maaseh, so he understands what they're doing. People are incomprehensible to anybody except the one who made them. Eina melech nosha barav chaya. A king is not saved by a great army. Gibor le'yinatzel barav kayach. And a hero is not rescued by great strength. So we know that Hashem is in charge of these things. Sheker hasus lishua. The false is the horse for salvation. You can't jump on your horse and ride your horse to safety, or use your horse to trample over others. And despite the fact that it's great strength, you can't escape. A horse is you forget how big a horse is. You go to the zoo to see horses, and they're huge. And people think of, like, you know, jumping on a horse and riding away. You get like a 20-foot running start, right? Horses are huge, right? So certainly that's a great beast that a person would jump on, and they would think, wow, now I'm on my horse. And you get that illusion of power, and I can run away, and I can escape, and I can trample. So it's not a sus is sheker. It doesn't matter whether you're sitting on the sus or not. You're still the same small person you were on the ground. Hine ein Hashem al yireya. The eye of Hashem is on those who fear Him, m'me'achalim l'chasta, and upon those who are waiting for His kindness. V'hatzil mimavas nasham, to rescue from death their soul, v'lechayosam barav, and to sustain them in famine. We talk about all the time that Hashem feeds people, and Hashem feeds them both spiritually and physically, and that it's not really our efforts. Nafshenu hichasal Hashem, our soul longs for Hashem. Ezreinu magineinu, He is our shield and our helper. Right? Certainly we can all relate to the idea that we all relate to Hashem sometimes as our helper, as our magen, or our oizer. Kivo yismach libeinu, He'll gladden our hearts. Kivishem kodesh betachnu, because we trusted in His holy name. And may Your kindness, Hashem, be upon us, just as we have awaited and always awaited for You. Right? Meaning always awaited, no matter what Hashem says or does, we're always there, we always understand that Hashem is there to help us. This seems like a collection of pesukim of all different kinds of ways of looking at Hashem. Doesn't it? Not. Hashem is our rescuer. Hashem is our helper. There's no winning a war without Hashem. Hashem gives us the way the world works, yet Hashem intervenes with Hashkacha. Right? Yet we sing for Hashem, yet we rejoice in the fact that His laws are consistent and His world works. Yet we rejoice in His hashkacha. Yet we want to constantly be singing a new song to Him as our salvation. David HaMelech doesn't seem to be able to stay on task here. He's so happy, perhaps, after having done teshuvah from the last kapitel, that he just can't quite figure out how he wants to relate to Hashem. That's almost what seems to be going on here. Every pasuk is a different thing. We can take each one of these pasukim and talk about, okay, we're supposed to be singing and joyful that Hashem is our Father. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. We're supposed to remember that Hashem helps us in time. I'm sorry, right? We're supposed to remember that Hashem has hashkach over us. Oh, wait, we're supposed to remember that Hashem makes the laws of the world works in our famous cell phone drop. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. We're supposed to remember that Hashem is, it doesn't matter whether we're on a horse and we think we're great, we still have, only Hashem decides. Wait, you know what? It really doesn't matter. Only Hashem decides who wins wars. Well, hold on a second, David HaMelech. We have 117 more kapitalach to go. Why could? What is Stefan Amell getting at that he couldn't save a few ideas for the rest? Anybody want to take a guess at what he's getting at here? David Malach is getting at something that is as profound as it is difficult to understand. And that is that after David Malach did Teshuvah, and Hashem accepted his Teshuvah, he continued contemplating Hashem. And he said, you know what? It's very difficult for us as people to see through the cloud of our own internal conflicts and our own internal ideas and our own mindset to really see how Hashem relates to the world. Because Hashem relates to the world in all of these different ways. What David HaMelech is trying to tell us here, and it's a very difficult kapitel to get our minds around, because what David HaMelech is trying to tell us here is that our job as people, as Ovdei Hashem, as someone who wants to be an Eved as Hashem, is yes, all this. Our job is supposed to be to see clearly through the mud that Hashem relates to the world in all of these different manners. And that our job is not just to be seeing the trumpet section or the string section or the, help me out, this would be percussion section or the
string section?
Brass, thank you, there we go. I knew there were some more sections. Or the brass section. And that's how we go through life. We go through life, and every day we relate to Hashem based on our little narrow view of what's happening. You know what? I'm getting a new job today, and I'm relating to Hashem as the Baal Parnassim. And you know what? I'm sick today. I just had an operation. I'm relating to Hashem as the Baal Rafuah. And you know what? There's a war going on. People are putting themselves in harm's way. I'm relating to Hashem as the Ish Milchama. Says David HaMelech, you're all right and you're all wrong. You're all right, but your job is to see past that. You have to look at the whole symphony of how Hashem relates to the world and not just be looking at your little section. So today I'm a woodwind player. I'm seeing how the clarinet, that Hashem is a great clarinetist. And tomorrow I'm a drummer and I'm seeing that Hashem is a great percussionist. And tomorrow I'm a trumpet player and he's a great brass player, right? But rather, we're supposed to see the whole picture. So it says David HaMelech, the whole picture is this sort of chalent pot of ideas. This whole kapitel is Ronenu Tzadikim, all the way down to the fact that Yichalnu Lach, that we're waiting for Hashem. We're supposed to be trying to look through our little viewpoints and see that whole picture. That, says David HaMelech, is what it means to be an Eved Hashem. David HaMelech, after coming through his intense tefillah in Teshuvah, is now ready for this kapitel. This is the follow-up. After a person is davened and has poured their heart out to Hashem and has realized that Hashem can help them, and as Hashem has accepted their Teshuvah, now a person has to sort of stand up and open their eyes and see what is it that Hashem does with the world. Says David HaMelech, you want to know what Hashem does with the world? I got 22 pasukim here that I can sum it up in. And I got 22 different things. Our job is to try and keep that whole picture going, even when we're just listening to the solo from one section of the symphony. Says David HaMelech, that's what it means to be an Eved Hashem, and it's the most difficult kind of avdus, the most difficult way to serve Hashem. If you've ever been to a symphony, it's hard to listen to the whole orchestra. Read a review sometime of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. They never talked about how great the whole orchestra sounded. First, they say, well, you know, during this solo, the clarinets floated beautifully under the direction of so-and-so, so-and-so. And this soloist, I almost guarantee you that if we were to pull out from the newspaper 25 reviews of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, 90%+ of the reviews are dedicated to individual components. Yet the entire time, the whole orchestra's playing. Because people can't relate to the whole thing very well. People look at their little narrow view from their little narrow mind. Says David HaMelech, if you really want to grow from Teshuvah and learn from Teshuvah and be an Eved Hashem, try and look at the whole symphony. Try and hear the whole symphony at one time. And if you can't do that, at least try and first pick the woodwinds and two couple sections together. And keep these things in mind. And that's really what it takes, David HaMelech, to be an Eved Hashem, is listening to that whole symphony. Questions? I'm going to...